I'm going to call this inward, upward, and outward. When Jesus died, in a lot of ways, the hopes of his followers died with them. They were hoping that he was going to liberate them from the Roman army. And when he died, everything changed. They were completely lost. They didn't know what was going on. So in a sense, it's like this plant chopped off. They lost their source. No longer connected to the source. His death didn't change them, though, other than they seemed to lose hope. We find them right after his death, we find them hiding together, because they're afraid. They're afraid that they too are going to get rounded up and possibly killed like Jesus himself. But let's look at the resurrection. Once Jesus rose from the dead, as we know he did, he appears to them. He comes to where they're hiding, and he appears to them. He shows them the scars where the nails used to be, evidence that he had been on the cross, his side where the spear had gone in. So he shows himself not only to have been resurrected, but then he eats a piece of fish and shows them that he's not a ghost, that he was alive, died, and was now alive again. So the resurrection then is kind of like just a beginning for the followers of Jesus anyway, and for us. For Jesus, it was the end of his story in a way, because it ended his time while he was here on earth with us, right? But for us and the disciples, by the association, it was only just starting. Let's look at a passage of scripture. John 14, verses 1 and following. Jesus said, "Don't worry. I'm going away, but I will come back for you. In the meantime, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live." Jesus says this to them as well. "You are my witnesses," he says. "Wait until I give you power from heaven." Jesus essentially doesn't leave them in a lurch, right? When he's dead, I mean, the story could have ended there, right? The story doesn't end. He doesn't go to them and say, "Hey, I'm alive again, guys. Hello. Now go and do everything that I did and more." That's not what he leaves them with. He gave them power and boldness by his Spirit. The Spirit of God is, in a sense, not a new thing, right? He's not introducing a new thing, but he's introducing it the Holy Spirit in a different way. We can see in the creation story that the Spirit was active. The Spirit was roaming the earth. Before anything was even formed, the Spirit was there. We see it evidence of the Spirit in Moses, how he spoke with such authority, how he defeated Pharaoh, right? We see it in David, who predicted events that he had no way of knowing, right? He spoke of Jesus in such an intimate way, and yet he came so much before Jesus. So you think, well, how is that possible, right? It's possible by the Spirit living among God's people. We see evidence of this throughout the scriptures, of God's involvement in what's going on through his Spirit. Yet at the coming of the Spirit, where there is an actual event where the Spirit came to dwell in believers, God was doing a new thing. This is what the scripture says about what happened that specific day in Acts 2, 1-13. "They were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like a blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues or languages as the Spirit enabled them. The mission of the Holy Spirit, then, is a twofold mission: power and proclamation. That's what it's about. And we can see this in Acts 1-8, where Jesus says, "You will receive power, and you will be my witnesses, not only here, but in the neighboring towns, in the region, and everywhere," right? And yet, this is where the real difference happens. The Holy Spirit is the thing that makes the difference, right? Here we go from being cut off when Jesus died to be waiting for something to arrive, and that's the Spirit we were waiting for. Once the Spirit has come, this is what happens. We make a mess with soil. We get to be transplanted. We get to really grow now. Because, you know, when you're here, I mean, plants don't grow flowers when they're in water, right? As far as I know. They need to be in soil. They need to get light. They need to get all the things that they need, right? So this is what the Holy Spirit does for us. The difference is that the Holy Spirit now, once Jesus was gone, the Spirit now indwells us, right? The difference is that none of this could have happened, actually, unless Jesus died. Jesus had to die in order for this to happen, right? Because otherwise, we were just, like the disciples, they were fine as long as Jesus was around with them, right? But once he was gone, they were shattered, like we would be shattered, right? But we weren't left destitute, right? We were left with the deposit of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit now lives in us. Let's look at some examples as I started my talk with what it meant for the disciples. Let's look at Peter. What was Peter like before the resurrection and before the Holy Spirit came? We know that when Jesus first met Peter, Peter says, "Nah." He says, "Stay away from me. I'm trouble. I'm the most sinful guy you know." And yet what Jesus says about him, he says, "I'm going to build my church on you. You're going to be the guy. You're the guy. You're the it man," right? And he could hardly believe it, right? This was a guy who was an ordinary fisherman, right? He probably wasn't very well educated. He, as far as I know, he was probably a cusser. I like to think that Peter cussed a lot, you know? He didn't have a lot of social graces, let's say. And, you know, the church today exists because of Peter's involvement, right? Because the resurrection happened, because the Spirit indwelled him, he was able to do all kinds of great things for the church. He, you know, brought so many people to Christianity, right? He spoke in power. He healed the sick. And lots of people came to believe because of him, right? Then there's this guy named Paul, right? Who was Paul? Paul was a guy who was... he was a Jewish authority way high up there, and he used to murder Jesus' followers, right? He knew that this guy and his followers, he knew that they were not adhering to the Jewish law that he was raised in, that he prided himself in, right? So on the command of his leaders, he was allowed to kill people. He went across the country looking for people who he could kill, right? And we know the story of Stephen, right? He was there when Stephen, who was a follower of Jesus, was killed. He was there and he gave authority to it, right? So on his way to Damascus, when he's on his way to kill more people, what happens? But he has an encounter with the risen Christ. He has an encounter with him. Jesus has already died. Jesus is already resurrected. And the Holy Spirit is already around, indwelling people, right? And so when Jesus encounters him, he said, "Why are you persecuting me? Don't you know this is God's doing? This is God's plan all along?" You know? Paul knew at that moment, he knew who was addressing him. There was no doubt. that it was God who was speaking to him, right? And so what happened? We see the transformation in Paul. Paul became one of the most famous apostles in the end, right? He wrote so many books of what we now know as the New Testament, so the part of the Bible where Jesus is, since Jesus was around. And he also died for his faith, right? He went to his death believing and trusting, and he knew it didn't matter, right? In the end, it didn't really matter. Okay, so you might think, okay, well, what does this have to do with me, right? This is all just a nice story, and I've heard it all before. I'm a Christian. I've been born again, whatever you want to say. I've received the Holy Spirit. I've been a follower all my life. I've been baptized. I know I'm going to heaven. But what if we are meant to grow inwardly? Inwardly, deep roots, upwardly, tall, and flourishing like this, outwardly. What if this is what it's really supposed to be like? Don't be fooled into thinking that you will automatically become more like Jesus just as with the passing of time. Because I've been guilty of this. I thought, you know, 20 years in, gosh, I must be getting better. I must be getting more loving. I must be getting kinder. I must be swearing less. You know, all of these things. But unless you dig in and look up and out, right? This isn't gonna, it's not gonna change a whole lot. You're still gonna live essentially like this. Either chopped off altogether or in a sense of waiting, right? You're just sitting here in a tub of water. You're waiting for maybe heaven, right? Lots of Christians may even believe that. You know, I've got my ticket now. I'm just waiting. That's all I'm doing. Can't wait to die, right? But what we need to do is we need to take the plant and we need to fertilize it, right? We need to keep investing in this thing that we have, in our faith, right? We have to work it out in three ways that I mentioned, inwardly, upwardly, and outwardly. I'll give you another example out of the Bible of how the apostles did this. We see evidence of them working all three of these out in Acts chapter 2, verse 42 to 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by them. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions, they gave as everyone had need. Every day they continued to meet in the temple courts, and they preached about Jesus and what Jesus had done for them. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number, it says, which means that more people came to faith by their example, how they were living, and the evidence of the Spirit working in their life. So inward, the plant with roots, here we go. Let your roots grow. Look yourself in the mirror. They say that a person's eulogy says a lot more about them than their resume, and I think that to be true. Remain in Jesus and bear fruit. What does fruit look like? It's like how you're not there yet. You've got joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Pursue things that are true. Stay clear of gossip, slander, hate. Share with one another. Don't go back to plugging yourself into the old source, as Tim said last week. Don't go do that. If you truly hunger for God, the things that you have been part of, the things about yourself that you don't want to do anymore, those become less and less of an interest as you plug into these three things. Inward. Don't worry about life, because God's going to provide for all your needs, even for raccoons. Upward. Let's look at this plant here. What's this one about? This is about looking towards God. Right? Look at the example of the followers of Jesus again. They prayed endlessly. I don't even know what it means to pray endlessly, right? In all situations. I'd like to know, but I don't know. But this is the example that they gave us. Stay plugged in, stay rooted in, and fertilized to your source, who is Jesus, and he gives life. Meditate on the words in Scripture. Think about them. Remind yourself daily of the promises of God. Remind you of who he is. Sit quietly alone with God and bask in his presence. Just listen. Don't even ask him for anything. Just sit there and listen. Try that out. I've recently tried this out because, believe it or not, I've never really done that before. Never really just sat. Sometimes God comes and gives me things. Sometimes I fall asleep because nothing happens. Sing songs to Jesus, right? We call this worship. Do these things that allow for your upward growth towards him. Lastly, this beautiful, beautiful, thriving, outward plant. Grow outward and think about others, not just yourself, right? Again, so much of I hate to say, but some aspects of Christianity have focused so hard on ourselves, right? And our own ticket, right? That I just can't wait to get there. Leave me alone. I can't wait to get there, right? But it's the outward focus, being more like Jesus, taller and taller and bushier and bushier. So again, we're called to be Jesus' witnesses and to use the power of the Holy Spirit to tell the world about the repentance and forgiveness available to Jesus, right? Some of us call this evangelism. Well, it might just be ordinary life. It might just be something that, you know, happens when you encounter people. It might just be something that, you know, that's a little more ordinary than we might make it. Tell people about what Jesus has done for you specifically, and you might be surprised at how interested other people are in hearing about that. And I'm going to challenge you too that in this, you know, we can heal the sick. I really think we can, right? Because Jesus says we can, and he says we already have the authority to do it. So just try it, right? It may not happen every single time. Robbie Dawkins was here a while ago, and he told us about praying for a dead guy. He said he prayed for 17 dead guys and none of them came back to life. But guess what? The 18th one did. So continue to pray and continue to ask for miracles, you know, for healing for the sick, for your friends, for your family, for people you don't even know. Pray for people in Nepal right now and the things that are going on. And don't be afraid of the one who accuses you, right? I know sometimes we can get hung up on that too, right? You get hung up on what we call the enemy, right? But don't get hung up on him, because his days are numbered. Forgive others when they hurt you, when they say hurtful things about you, or even untrue things about you, right? We all know people like that. Every single day I go to work and there's somebody like that. Every single day I have to come and say, okay, God, forgive me for how I respond to that person, right? Be loving as far as it's up to you towards everyone. And remember that in order for this to continue, for your journey to grow inwardly, upwardly, and outwardly, you got to fertilize, okay? Keep fertilizing through these three focuses. Live with intention to do this, to grow like these plants, inwardly, upwardly, and outwardly. Thank you.